I heard in early recovery that somebody had put a message on a mirror that said, "You're looking at the problem." And I got a chuckle out of it, and I suppose that was part of the intention of the person who said it, but also they were saying it was their teachable moment. And, you know, there's some truth in that, but there's also a lot more under that. You know, it's like there's one who has all power, that one is God, may you find God now, means that you aren't the problem either, unless you are getting in the way. Getting in the way is just not letting go and letting God. Most of the problems that we experience in our lives, sure, they're of our own making. I get that. We're responsible for 99% of our problems, or at least that's my take on it. Which is really good news, because, you know, we're free to do something with it. If our problems are of somebody else's making, then we'll have a problem anytime they want us to have it. If somebody else is responsible for my anger, they can make me angry anytime they want to. Likewise with sadness or joy. And if somebody decides to not let me be happy today, I'm not going to be joyful. Hence the saying that happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. It's one of the slogans in the Friends of Lois program. I remember a speaker that I heard at Gopher State that made a huge difference in my life. And I'm thinking I would love to interview her for Sober Wise Guy, The Incomplete Skeptic or something. But I was really impressed at how she had come to a point of forgiveness in her life and acceptance. And after she got done speaking, I patiently waited to talk to her about forgiveness and what it looked like in my life regarding little Timmy and my being abused as a child, or whatever would come out of my mouth at the time I went to express gratitude to her. But I wanted to run something by her, and it was kind of in the form of a question. You know, I was a little bit stuck on the idea of what a victim is. And today I'm kind of wishing we could just remove that concept from our societal mindset, you know, just get it out of there. Because it just creates problems, you know. And it's not to say that there's not real victims, but, you know, it can be very short-lived. It can almost be instantaneous. We go from problem to solution to forgiveness to there's not a problem. That can be a really quick process, just depending on how easily a person lets go. And I've heard the old joke, everything I ever let go of has claw marks all over it, you know, and it is kind of funny, and there's some truth in that, right? So anyway, this speaker probably had a half hour, 45 minutes of people that were lined up to give her handshakes and hugs and have brief conversations with her. And eventually the line was getting short, and I did manage to go over and talk to her, and I did talk about little Timmy and his mom, who was pushing a stroller. And I had hit while impaired in a stolen car. The police were looking for me, but I wasn't directly fleeing the police. And and I ran over her baby and killed little Timmy, her baby. And I referred to them as my victims. And before I could go on, she stopped me right there. She put her hand up and said, "Nope, stop, stop right there." Sherry, little Timmy's mom, because I had mentioned her first name, she said, "Sherry's not your victim. Sherry can be as happy as she makes up her mind to be." And she reminded me of that concept that is bandied around the Friends of Lois program quite frequently. Again, back to happiness as a choice. And she said, "Look, she's able to have a relationship with her higher power, and her higher power isn't you. She's got one. You can't play God in her life. At this point in time, she's got to make a decision whether or not to turn her will and her life over to the care of God. She understands God, and you are in that same boat." And I really had a hard time wrapping my mind around the idea that Sherry was not my victim. I didn't own her. And I'm not responsible for anything in her life anymore. What I did was wrong. It was wrong then, and it'll always be wrong in this kind of earthly plane. But if you've ever heard of sacred contracts, maybe little Timmy and I have one, or had one. And Timmy and I, maybe, I don't know, this sounds so hard to say, because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or bruise your sensibilities or anything. But, you know, maybe before we came to this planet, our spirit contract, our soul contract, is that he would give his life and I would take it. And with that, I would spend the rest of my life saving other people's lives. And this is kind of where the idea that forgiveness always runs deeper than the offense that requires its presence. Without the offense, there is no forgiveness. And in a very singular way, we should look at everything that has happened in our lives, that has happened to us, and that we've done to others, as a unique gift, a wonderful opportunity for spiritual growth and helping other people. You know, no matter how far down the scale we've gone, everything that's happened in our lives can be of service to another human being. And eventually I got to the point of accepting pain as a friend, and then gave it a kiss and a hug and put it to rest. You know, when I loved the part of me that was angry with myself and others over a wide variety of things, I made peace with it. I had a spiritual sort of a vision quest going on during a darkness retreat. And at some point, that angry part of me just showed up pissed, just pissed about something, and was just raging on me. And I realized in that moment that all it needed was love. And as silly as it might sound, you know, in the spirit, in the metaphorical, in the psychological, the emotional, whatever you want to call it, I gave my angry self a hug and said, "I love you." And it relaxed and became appreciative, and just, you know, that's all we want is love. That's all we want in life and love is love. And I've done enough time to tell you that I've seen really strong men in prison break down crying. Or you could tell they're hiding it. You could tell when something was going on. But I've actually seen these guys that are not supposed to cry just break down when their wives or girlfriends left them. And it was usually about a year at the most, because most people can't wait more than 1 year. They just can't do it. It's too painful for them. And it gets down to it. Even the big, burly, strong people, you get them in the right circumstance. You talk to them in the cell when no one else is around, and they'll, in some way, shape, or form, admit that all they want is love. It's all we want is love. And if you don't have love in your life, I think you can instantly have it by giving it. It might be different than being in a relationship, committed, loving relationship. It might not feel the same to you or something, but if you're loving other people, you'll always have love in your life. That's a choice. Nobody can take that from you, just like happiness. It's an inside job. It's not dependent on political parties, religions. It's not dependent on who's following the science god or who's following the atheist god, if you will. And I know that sounds like a paradox, but it all boils down to exactly that. It's, it's the old joke about waking up at 3:30 in the morning, hearing a bunch of noise outside my house, and going to the living room window, you'll never guess what I observed outside. There was a group of agnostic bigots burning a question mark on my lawn. Anybody can be pedantic, prejudicial, anyone can be like a wild-eyed adherent to a thing, because we're human. We just do that, And forgiving people when they do that is part of loving them back to health and loving yourself back to health, because the more you're dwelling on peace and forgiveness and love, the less you're experiencing the thing that you need peace and delivery from. But you have to be willing, right? You have to be willing. Willingness is our part. Be the best person and leave the outcome up to God. All of them. And I think the Holy Bible says to be thankful in all things. I think it's in Philippians. I'm a really bad Bible thumper. Never been a good one. But, all things means not just the things that are easy, but everything, good, bad, and in between. And that's tied into the evolution of the idea, and it's still evolving, I suppose. The evolution of the idea of telling three people a day that you love them, including the ones you don't want to tell. And as I close my video, I'm going to repeat that again. If you don't tell at least three people a day that you love them, you've probably wasted a day of your life. And quit wasting your life. When you die and you get to heaven, you're going to find out that all this stuff didn't matter that you were upset about. The only thing that mattered is love. Or at least that's what the near-death experience people keep saying when they come back, And that's what I feel is true in my heart. So, as always, take what you leave and take what you leave. Take what you need and leave the rest. Peace out. You are loved.